Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Travis Johnson, host of the Nonprofit Architect, helping you build a stronger nonprofit. Jump on over to patreon.com/nonprofitarchitect, get some behind-the-scenes videos, and see all my pre-interview work, uncut, unedited, to see how I actually talk to these people, you know, when I'm off camera or on camera. I can't even remember. I'm here today with Crystal Heller, one of the top dogs at Paws and Warriors. Crystal, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Travis. Thank you for having me on the show.
For those of you that can't see, Crystal is on today with Petey Pablo, her very adorable Chihuahua, who's 11, and we love him.
So, Paws and Warriors was established about 3 years ago, and we are a nonprofit that helps kind of bridge that gap between all the service dog organizations out there. And how we do that is by matching primarily rescue dogs with veterans, first responders, or Gold Star family members to become companion, emotional support, or service dogs. So a lot of the times, though, we see that people are struggling. We'll give you an example of PTS with our veterans, for example, and they're struggling, and for some reason, they're trying to apply for service dog organization through service dog organization, and they're finding the wait list to be 2 years long, or the cost to be upwards of $15,000 just to get a dog. And unfortunately, we've actually heard of people just losing their struggle and losing their will to continue. And then we ended up losing a life because they couldn't get the help that they were looking for, or, you know, obviously through numerous other reasons that caused them to struggle in their life. So Paws and Warriors was established to help bridge that gap. And we started off as kind of like a liaison service, so to say, where my founder, LaVon Bauer, she just noticed that people were struggling with this, and she just wanted to cut the red tape. So she started just doing the research on her own for people and kind of pairing rescue dogs with the right, you know, with their, you know, future owner, just trying to find the right fit, the right dog, the right temperament for these individuals. And she started realizing she had a knack for it. So moving on from there, through her own experience with our ambassador dog, Oz, who became a therapy facility dog. And she noticed, though, that certain veterans were becoming more attached, or at least related more, to Oz because he was an amputee. So Oz was rescued from a shelter after a car accident had severely maimed his leg, and one of his rear legs had to be amputated, and LaVon rescued Oz. And the crazy part about this is that the day she started, she actually got her nonprofit for Paws and Warriors, she actually found out that she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Oz ended up being her therapy dog throughout her chemo and radiation, everything that she went through. And thank God she beat breast cancer, and she is now a full-on survivor. But Oz has become even more so of a therapy dog, getting certified as a facility dog and then certified as her service dog as well. So he goes everywhere with her to support Paws and Warriors, and is really the face. I mean, everyone that knows Paws and Warriors really knows LaVon, but more people remember Oz because Oz is fantastic. he is. Everyone loves Oz. It's funny because on his service dog vest, she actually has signatures from people signing his vest and other people's patches that, you know, he's touched their lives in some way or another. So his vest is just covered now in patches and people's signatures on it. So it's beautiful. It really is.
That's really cool. And yeah, Oz is the face of the organization. I went down to Texas A&M for a weekend. We did, what the heck did we do? I forget what we did. It was some event down there. Oh, SCONA, Student Council on National Affairs. We took home 2 or 3 trophies back to the University of Oklahoma, you know, Boomer Center. But down there, they have a dog roaming the campus called Reveille. And Reveille has all these crazy rules attached to him. He, you know, he always gets straight A's. If he comes into the classroom, everyone gets the class off, and he's just around campus, and he is the best dog that you can ever meet. I've met him twice. Very honored indeed.
People really do remember the dog.
Well, I mean, always happy to see you. I mean, why wouldn't you remember someone or something that's always happy to see you?
That's true. Makes you feel good. And that's exactly why we're, you know, why we're talking about emotional support and service dogs, because they really do provide the therapy that we need to, you know, battle whatever we're going through, whether it's physical or mental health issues, and help us out with our daily lives. And as you know and can imagine with, you know, first responders and veterans that are struggling with these physical or mental health issues, dogs can provide them normalcy again. Dogs can help them in anything from being able to open an automatic, you know, door by pressing the button to open a door for us. And anything, we're now actually training a dog named Sage. And Sage is a stability dog. So it's a Great Dane Mastiff. And Sage is being trained to identify fall behavior. So, and be able to catch the person as they're falling. And then also to provide stability when the person needs to get back up. Sage will actually get underneath the person and stand them up again, help provide them stability. So, and this can help, you know, prevent any additional physical issues as well, or physical injuries from people falling. So, and then Sage is also a giant cuddle bug too. So helps with mental health, helps with alleviate anxiety as well. So she's just a very blessed soul. She's wonderful. But so yeah,
how do you go about finding these animals in order to, you have to find the animals, and then you have to find the veterans, first responders, and Gold Star families to connect them to? And imagine there's some kind of acquisition process, some kind of training process. You have to vet the dogs and screen the vets. Right.
So, well, that's twofold, of course. So we'll start with the dogs and then we'll go into the applicants. But the dogs are a lot more difficult because you just never know if they're a puppy, if they're going to pass all of the requirements that it takes to become a service dog. But lucky for us, though, if they don't pass the requirements to become a service dog, they may still very well make a very great emotional support animal as well. So, what we do right now is we started off trying to find rescues. And that's just really getting temperament tested. So if the dog is 1 or 2 years old, making sure the dog is temper tested by our canine director, or one of our trainers, and identifying, do they have the traits that it takes to be a service dog? Are those traits present? And of course, they'll go through training. And if for some reason or other, they just don't pass the training, we have found that they do become very wonderful emotional support animals, or we end up just adopting them out to somebody who just doesn't want the attention a service dog can bring to them. So, but we also are very blessed to have what are called bred for service dogs. Normally we don't work with breeders, but our canine director, we're very blessed to have her. Her family actually has a line of mastiffs that are bred for service only. And they're actually bred specifically to have certain traits bred out of them that you know, certain aggressive traits, let's say a high prey drive, for example, wouldn't do well for having a service dog. So these mastiffs are very calm by nature anyways, so are bred just to become service dogs. They're amazing. And we've got 4 of them that were donated to our organization, and then additional ones that are were donated to another organization as well. So we're very blessed to have 4 puppies. They're about 6 months old right now, and they are the most amazing puppies I have ever met in my entire life. They're very calm, very sweet, very intuitive. You look at them and have no idea that they're 6 months old, that they're only puppies. So we do have the Bred for Service program as well, and that's how we have some puppies coming in. For the applicant side, it is very difficult though, because we come across a lot of different personalities, and sometimes you have to root through the personalities to understand, is there a mental health need that makes them who they are, or is it something that they're struggling with and that a dog can really, really help them through? But anyways, our application process is we have two different applications. We have the board and trained service dog application, and we have a self-trained service dog application. The board and train application means that they would end up getting a dog through our organization that would go through training at our trainer's facility and get paired with them, and they end up receiving the dog from us. The self-trained service dog program we're very excited to be launching very soon. It's essentially like going to an online university, like college online. We've got numerous trainers. Our canine director has an online program now, and they've already been doing it with our canine director's program in Canada. It's been very, very successful. And essentially, it's like I said, going to online college. So the applicant has their own dog. We test, we kind of send videos to our trainers, our canine director, and they assess the dog and what its current training needs are. And then they write up a training plan for them. And there are certain checkpoints that they have to go through to make sure that the dog is progressing. They have to submit videos online that the trainers can review that shows, okay, the dog is now sitting, the dog is now laying on command, the dog is coming to them on command or walking on lead at heel. So until they can get into the service dog, you know, the service traits that they're going to need to be trained for. And we call those tasks. So the tasks that they need to be trained for. And then they start going into those, but I'm not a trainer. So maybe one day we can get my canine director or one of our trainers on the podcast to tell you exactly what it takes to train a service dog. That would be really cool. But so we have those two programs. And going back to like the difficulty of getting a service dog, first responders and Gold Star families, first responders specifically, we're finding they get denied or they have no opportunity for a service dog through these organizations because they are not veterans. So we're actually honored to be able to provide service dogs to first responders who need a service dog for mental or physical disabilities as well, or just, you know, help that they need to get through their lives. So we're very blessed to be able to have that. Yeah, those are two application processes from dogs through applicants. Does it make sense?
Crushed it. Absolutely crushed it. I find it's interesting. I've been doing things with veterans and first responders combined for a number of years now. So it kind of floored me when you said that they don't qualify for service dogs because they're not veterans. You know, a veteran might go over and be involved in one skirmish and come back with severe problems, and that's just the way it is. These first responders, police, fire, EMTs, paramedics, even ER, you know, nurses, they deal with this stuff on a semi-weekly basis, sometimes daily, depending on where you're at. And the things that they see are just absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
They see the worst parts of people. They see their insides. They see their outsides. It's just awful to think that people haven't made the connection between the two yet. I had a friend of mine just recently listen to my interview with Richard Kaufman, and we talked about the real number of suicides a day. Everyone knows about the 22 veterans, but if you include first responders, it's really like 35 a day, which is just a disgusting number.
Absolutely. And that's why, I don't know if you've noticed on my Facebook and Paws and Warriors, we're constantly trying to put out as much information as we can about, you know, the national suicide rates, or just awareness for PTS, for example, and just understanding it's not visible. So if you see somebody that looks perfectly fine on the outside but has a service dog, don't judge them. Or an emotional support animal, don't judge what they have. I know there's a lot out there of people taking advantage, but, you know, get to know the people around you, your surroundings, you know, and understand, you know, helping people understand what their rights are as well, or businesses understanding their rights to have a service animal or an emotional support animal.
I think people have been recently a little bit too quick to judge. They see a service animal and they look at the person, they seem fine. They see someone getting out of a car in a handicapped space and they're like, you don't look handicapped, you know, or you see a woman such as yourself parking at the VA and getting out and be like, that spot's for veterans, which is garbage. I've served with women my entire time, and I know you are active, or you're in right now.
Reservist. Yeah, an activated reservist right now, going through that. Yeah.
we got to get rid of these preconceived notions on whatever it is blocking us. It's maybe something you've not seen before, but by all means, does that make it not possible or not true? So we definitely got to get over that. So what kind of fundraisers do you do for Positive Warriors? I know Oz is kind of like, you know, steals the show everywhere you go. Is he involved in your fundraising and your events?
Oh, he absolutely is. But you made a comment, though, that I'd like to circle back around to, and then I'll come right back to the fundraising events. And that's the public perception. And so one of the things that I wanted to mention here is that we would love to be able to start, and we're trying to work on this now, doing these public awareness events where we go to businesses and we host, you know, either town hall meetings or business meetings, or we go outside, you know, PetSmart or things like that, and we talk to people about service dogs. What's the right protocol when there's a service dog out and about with their handler? You know, everyone knows, or at least most people know, don't pet the service dog, but people are still approaching the handler and asking a ton of questions. You don't know if that handler has social anxiety or something of that nature that might preclude, like, make them very uncomfortable to receiving these questions. Or the question, you look perfectly fine. What do you need a service dog for? I'm giving myself as an example. One of the puppies that are coming in are going to be trained to help identify troponins, and an enzyme in the heart that will identify if you're going in distress. So one of the puppies are going to be trained for me, and I'm going to be going through the service, the self-trained program, so I can say, not only do I understand as a veteran, but I also just like to go through the self-trained program. So I'll be, you know, getting a dog soon and, you know, going through that. The reason why, though, we want to do these public awareness, what do they call, not meetings, but you just kind of go out in public and tell them, tell the public how to react or behave with service dogs and their handlers. Also give information to businesses on what their rights are having a service dog in their business, or if they accept emotional support animals in their business as well. So that way we can start breaking these notions, these preconceived notions of people, their disabilities, and is to have a support or a service animal, if that makes sense. So we're hoping to do that and break that barrier that you were talking about.
I think it's important.
Yeah.
You gotta do it.
Right. So you asked me about fundraising, and so fundraising right now has been a little difficult. We did our very first fundraiser in December, and it took a lot of planning and time, and it was wonderful. We had a lot of sponsors, and we had a lot of people show up and do booths for us and give us a portion of their proceeds. But we also noticed that with the amount of time and effort it took to put into the fundraiser didn't really get back as much as the time and effort that we put into it. And so we're learning little lessons about how to plan for fundraisers. And we're very grateful, don't get me wrong, for, you know, how much we were able to raise. And it was essentially enough to get one service dog trained. Just paid for the training alone, not vet bills or boarding or anything like that, or transport. Or rescue fees, adoption fees, or anything like that. But it was enough to pay for one dog's training. So we're very blessed to have that. But what we're looking for right now are things like corporate sponsors. We're ready to take on that responsibility of making sure that our corporate sponsors are feeling well taken care of with publicity or social media marketing to let the people know, hey, this organization is doing wonderful things for our veterans and first responders through supporting service dog organization. So we are open to sponsors. To let you know, we have an event coming out June 27th. Stay tuned for it. We are looking for sponsors right now. We just are going live with it. We have $1,000, $2,500, and $5,000 packages for sponsorship, but we're blessed with a benefit concert by a national recording artist, and it's going to be in Sarasota, Florida. It is on his official tour. We have not gone live with who it is yet, but just save the date, June 27th in Sarasota, Florida, at the White Buffalo Saloon. We have a country star that's doing a benefit concert for us, and we are looking for corporate sponsors. So a little plug-in for you for that.
Well, this is listened to in Florida more than any other state.
Oh, really? Wonderful. Yeah. Sarasota, Florida, June 27th.
I also see that you have a store on your website. Do you do weekly, monthly, or quarterly posts about the new stuff that you have coming out? And something like, if you donate at least 25 monthly, you get a free new item?
That's actually a great idea. So no, we haven't started doing that. We just went live like 2 months ago with our store. So we're hoping to drive more attention to it, but the social media part has been difficult for us to maintain with all the work it takes to go into running a nonprofit and also working full time. So everybody that on our board are all full time employees elsewhere. So everything is being done, kind of night and weekends. So, but we just got a marketing company that we are partnering with right now. And they're doing a lot of social media for us. I don't know if they wanted us to go live yet with the new partnership, but they're taking over our social media for us to help drive more attention. So get more likes, put out more information, put out, do these little fun little things like you mentioned. We did, for example, on Valentine's Day, our new social media company, marketing company, put together a video collage of, all of our organization members, our applicants and warriors with their dogs. And it was just a beautiful little video collage saying Happy Valentine's Day with all the pictures. So if you want to look through that, Petey Pablo and I are on that as well with my husband. We have a big dog named Eliza as well. So she's a shepherd.
Yeah, that's cool. No, but social media is one of those things that just, it kicks people's butts because it's a wonderful tool and you can, get quite a reach if you have five people on your board and each of them has 5,000 people. In theory, for free, you can reach 25,000 people. Yeah. But one of the hard things about a nonprofit is the person that you're serving, and coincidentally with Positive Warriors, also the animals that you're serving, are not the people that are going to be donating to the nonprofit. So it's twofold. You have to market and show all the good things you're doing to the people that have money or willing to donate towards such a cause, and also do the marketing it takes to find the animals you need and also find the people, the veterans, first responders, and Gold Star families that would be interested in receiving such an animal. So you've got a tall order and a tall task. And no nonprofits can make their mission happen without money. And none of us have enough on our own. But if we pool our money together and bring it together, we can eventually get something done. So that's pretty wonderful.
So you mentioned, though, getting the corporate sponsors is one of the things we are also very blessed to have is another warrior named Jerome DeFrank. He's also in Florida and he's got his service dog Chief. And he is now an official volunteer and ambassador of Paws and Warriors. And he is handling our LinkedIn account. So he runs LinkedIn as well. And he's trying to grow our LinkedIn account. Our LinkedIn account was brand new. We barely have any people, followers on LinkedIn. So please, if you can, if you're listening to this, go on LinkedIn and just like us and follow our page. We're trying to get more people on LinkedIn, but it'll help us reach more corporate sponsors, hopefully doing that and, posting up our sponsor packages and things like that. We do have many other sponsor packages, not just for events, but just in general. We have something called Walk with a Warrior, for example. Walking with a Warrior means that a company can actually sponsor a warrior team, meaning the applicant and their dog, and throughout the entire process. So whatever it takes, whether, if we need to find a dog from a rescue organization and we have to pay an adoption fee, the corporation pays the adoption fee. We go on and we have to do vaccines or neuter or spay the animal and the corporation will pay for that, all the way through training. But that Walk with a Warrior team will, get social media, posts, just boosts to the company, any updates from the warrior that they want to send out to their sponsor. And of course, what we call the warrior applicant will be able to, it's up to them and their rights and what they want to disclose. can be able to update the company on, you know, their progress, what the dog is being tasked for, is being trained, what tasks they're being trained to do for them, and can update them. So there's a little bit more control from the applicant side as well. But there are other sponsorship packages, and using that as an example, that corporations can go through. And, you know, we do like to fully collaborate with that company so that way they understand and know that we're not just here to receive financial support, but we're also, we also want to boost up that company for doing wonderful things for our veterans, first responders, and Gold Star families. And, you know, let the world know, hey, this company is an amazing supportive company, and this is what they're doing for someone, and kind of give them the shout outs that they deserve.
That's the goal, right? That's the goal with any corporate sponsorship or any donor anywhere, is to, you know, figure out the best way for donor relations to make them feel as if they've impacted the company, or excuse me, the nonprofit, and that they're doing good things. Some people, one of the things I hear most is, how would you like to be honored? Would you like to be honored in our monthly newsletter or mass email? Would you like to be honored on our social media blasts across? Do you want your logo up at different sponsorship events? Do you want it? Where do you want? How do you want this interaction to go? I know some people that do anonymous only; they're not interested in any kind of publicity. And there's some people out there, and there's nothing wrong with this. They want to get every little piece of publicity that you've got out there, because that's part of the partnership and the way things work with businesses. Have you found, what have you found that Positive Warriors does differently than other nonprofit organizations?
I think, though, that we do that differently is really the collaborations. We've heard from other nonprofits, though, or even just companies saying that some people feel that it's just a take all the time. And we want to make sure, it's one of our number one goals, that we're not just receiving funds. We're not just out there to take from people or corporations or donors or sponsors. We want to make sure that we are giving back just as much as that we're receiving in. And it's not just about the dogs. It's about other nonprofits. And I'll, you know, put another plug in there. We partner with Mission 22 in Florida. So, and Louisiana, the state leader for Mission 22 in Louisiana is our ambassador. He's on our website. You can see him there on our leadership team. For example, though, our concert coming up, we invite Mission 22 out there. They raise awareness for suicide and reducing the 22 that, you know, everybody, like you talked about, the 22 a day that we lose in veterans. We're more than just a nonprofit looking to receive or do fundraisers just for us. Our concert, we're having Mission 22 come out. They're setting up a booth as well. They're being able to sell some of their merchandise. You know, and so it's kind of, it's mutually beneficial for both of us. We raise awareness for PTS, suicide, and then also we go, you know, a step beyond and talk about how dogs can become therapy for you. So I think what we do differently is the collaboration, and sometimes just being there for people with, you know, LaVon and Oz. They want to fly out. We're, you know, trying to fly out to areas where first responders are being impacted by some of the terrible things they see on a day-to-day basis, and just bring Oz there and do pet therapy with them. It's not about publicity for Paws and Warriors. It's about supporting our first responders and bringing Oz out and showing love and support and saying, we're here for you.
There's not a lot more that needs to be done than just going out and being with them. And so many people just completely miss the boat on that.
Right.
They get into networking, they get into nonprofit, they're trying to do their business, it's all about them.
And it's an angle.
It's an angle. They're completely missing the boat, completely missing the point, completely missing the whole thing. It's about building each other up. It's about collaboration over competition, which seems to be a running theme in my podcast, if you listen to more than one of these. It's not about competing. There's no way we can do this on our own. And what better... Yeah, stronger together. Brian Paul quote. Check out his t-shirt. It's all the things that we do and we do together. You know, what people don't hear on these podcast episodes is the time that we spend beforehand talking about life and how things are going and how we're doing. Crystal had a pretty rough few months there, so we got caught up on it and we talked about the things, because it doesn't matter if she comes on the show or doesn't do a show. I still care about her. And then after the end of the show, because I always take notes because I'm a note taker, we talk about all the things that piqued my interest, things I need to, people I need to connect them with, little programs I'm not sure that they've heard about or not, other ways to do fundraising and get money coming into their organization, because it's not about Travis. It's not about Crystal. It's about making sure that people have the tools they need, the encouragement and accountability they need to be successful. Positive Warriors is probably not going to be a cause that everyone cares about. It's probably not going to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. Dang sure going to make the time and the effort and put the energy into it to make sure that I'm helping Crystal and LaVon make the best organization they can. It's important. It's vital. It's valid. And it needs the support. It needs people to reach out that are listening to this podcast. Be like, you know what, Crystal? I love puppies. I want to help. I want to volunteer. I want to give money. I want to buy your swag. I want to sign up for $25 a month to get a free hoodie like Travis was talking about. Let's get that program on the road. You know, whatever the thing is, because it's important that we connect. We find that love increases when you give it away.
Right.
And one of the ways we love and support each other is by showing up, sharing resources, sharing visions, bringing people along with us. And I love the fact that you're partnering with Mission 22 for a concert. That's a big deal in my book.
It is. And we absolutely love our ambassadors of Mission 22. They were there for the block party. We hosted that fundraiser in December, our very first one. We didn't even have tables, for example, to set up. We had a tablecloth to put on that said Pause More. So Mission 22 came out, provided the tables for us, set up the booth. She even helped sell our t-shirts, not t-shirts for Mission 22. She helped sell ours. And that's huge for us, just to know that we have friends that have, you know, a similar mission, that collaborate with us. Their Mission 22 is very near and dear to my heart, for example. So I can't, you know, speak enough about them. So big thank you to them.
So where can people get a hold of you? What's the best way to contact Paws and Warriors?
So the best way is to go to our website and follow us on social media. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. So find us, follow us, and find us on our website, www.pawsandwarriors.org. You can even go on the website and leave us a message. That message directly goes into my email, or you can email us at info@pawsandwarriors.org.
Nice, Crystal. Thanks so much for being on the show today. I'm glad everything's going better, and I can't wait to see bigger and better things from Paws and Warriors.
Thank you, Travis.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.